The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet, Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with racketeers and saboteurs, risking his life that criminals and enemy spies will feel the weight of the law by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling adventure, The Murder Gas. The Green Hornet strikes again. Britt Reed sat in his office. Lenore Case stood at the side of his desk.
If something isn't done about him, he's going to think he really is a reporter, Mr. Reed. He's traveling with Lowry today.
Miss Case, I told Axford to locate Dr. Lockhart.
I know you did. That's something he might be able to do if he'd put his mind to it. His experience as a cop should help him on locating a missing person, but no, not Axford. He came in with a negative report and then rushed out to go on something with Lowry.
What did Axford report on Dr. Lockhart?
Well, the doctor's closed his laboratory and left the city.
Well, whom did Axford speak to, Lockhart's secretary?
Yes, he reported that Lockhart's secretary wouldn't tell where he was, and then he went out in a rush.
A rush, huh?
Yes. Lowry had a call on a suicide. Axford went to help him cover it.
Oh, I see. Well, did Axford express any curiosity about Dr. Lockhart?
No.
He didn't even wonder why he wanted him located?
No, Axford's curiosity is slipping.
So it seems.
Mine, however, is not.
No?
Well, I thought you'd want whatever we had on the doctor, so I took his file from the morgue. Well, there's even an obit written for him.
A doctor is an old man.
Mr. Reed, he's been working on a gas. You knew that.
Yes.
Several years ago, he was interviewed, and he announced at that time that he was working on a new gas. He felt that it was a variation of the gas that's used by the Green Hornet.
I remember. That was when my father got steamed up and kept the long-distance phone humming. He was insisting that we keep in close touch with the doctor and enlist his help in combating the Hornet.
Well, following your instructions at that time, someone kept in close contact with the doctor. He was interviewed about every 2 weeks. He reported progress, but slow progress. We used only a few of the interviews. The rest never saw daylight, but, well, they're all here in this sheaf of papers.
Fine, I'll read these old articles.
Mr. Reed, shortly before the United States entered the war, we felt that Lockhart was close to the discovery of a new gas. Do you remember?
Clearly.
Then he turned clam. No more interviews, no more pictures, no more visitors in his lab.
Pictures? I see we have quite a few of them.
Mostly taken in his lab. Well, several of them show the people who worked with him there.
Mm-hmm, so I see.
Mr. Reed, is it terribly important that you locate Dr. Lockhart?
Why?
Well, his secretary knows where he is.
Oh, will she talk?
Not under ordinary circumstances, but...
But what?
Well, all that time your father wanted you on the phone, he had the long-distance operator follow you on a tour of 7 nightclubs before you were located.
Miss Case, got my father on the phone.
But... I thought you wanted Dr. Lockhart. Your father...
Father is at this moment in Washington. He can call the secretary. What's her name?
Nora Benham.
Nora Benham. Now, he can call her by long distance. Here, I'll not need these pictures of Lockhart.
All right, Mr. Reed. I'll get him on the phone right away. Hello, operator. Mr. Reed wants to speak to his father. Try the Mayflower Hotel in Washington.
Casey,
Axford, don't slam that door.
Oh.
Someday you're going to splinter it.
By golly, Casey, me and Lowry bumped into a sad suicide today. I thought I had to tell Reed about it. He might want... Oh, I see you got a picture already. Who got this?
Axford, I wish you'd learn not to paw things on my desk.
I'm not pawing. I'm only looking. Why, this picture is...
That picture is 5 years old. It's Dr. Lockhart.
Like fun it is. It's Jason Philbert, the guy that's dead.
Huh?
Right here.
But is this coincidence?
This, Casey, is Philbert. Jason Philbert. Wouldn't I know after seeing the cadaver? I got a photographic eye.
Wait, let me look at this. Yes, you're right, Axford. Philbert was an assistant to Dr. Lockhart. He's dead, you say?
As dead as they come, and it's suicide that done it. The poor guy couldn't take the duration, I guess. He left a sort of a note.
Look, big fellow, give me the facts on that suicide. Mr. Reed might be especially interested. You write them down while I take this. Yes? Oh. All right. Just a moment, please. Mr. Reed, ready with your father in Washington. Go ahead.
Oh, everything's all right, Dad. Well, here's the point. I'm trying to locate a Dr. Lockhart. Yeah, that's the man. And I don't want to use the authorities to find him. He's left the city. His secretary knows where he can be reached, I think, but she won't tell an ordinary mortal. If you put in a long-distance call for him, tell the operator he can be reached through his secretary, and long-distance will do the rest. We may get a call from Dr. Lockhart in a few minutes. I just heard from Dad again.
Yes? Do you mean he's been located?
Yeah, Dad talked to him.
Where?
A half a mile from a camp in the Adirondacks. The phone girls got their man.
Oh, good. Axford's still pacing in my office. Will you see him now?
Well, I'll send him in. But as soon as Lockhart calls, you take him away again.
Very well. I'll get him out. Axford?
No?
Now.
Sufferings, Nancy. I've been waiting to tell you the news. It's about the suicide. You were wanting to get in touch with Doc Lockhart this morning.
Yes, Axford.
Well, whilst I was with Lowry on a suicide story, we found it was one of the guys that used to work for Lockhart that had done away with himself. And with the gas that Lockhart invented, too.
Well, what makes you think it was a suicide?
Why, golly, Reed, it was easy to see. The cops had it all worked out. In the first place, there wasn't any way that anyone else could have done it. And there was a note, too.
A suicide note?
Sure thing. The guy was despondent or something.
Axford, take a look at this picture.
Yeah, I saw one like it on Casey's desk. It's Lockhart and his helpers when they were working on the secret gas.
Well, isn't this the dead man?
But that's the guy. Filbert is his name.
Well, do you know this other man or this woman?
No. Oh, yeah, that dame is Nora Benham with her hair done different. I talked with her whilst I was trying to find Lockhart for you.
That's right. This is an old picture.
I don't know the other guy, though.
Asher Varden.
Asher? Oh, there's an odd name.
Axford, I'm going to tell you something confidentially.
Sure. You can count on me to keep it secret.
Lockhart did invent a new gas. A deadly gas.
Yeah?
He was aided in the discovery by Asher Varden, Nora Benham, and this man who just died, Filbert.
But what did he do after he discovered the gas?
Closed his laboratory, swore those who shared this formula with him to secrecy, and went away.
What about the gas?
Well, it's been turned over to the government. Whether or not it'll be used depends on the performance of Hitler and Tojo.
If they want to start something, Doc Lockhart's gas will finish it, huh?
Oh, just a minute. Yes. All right, Miss Case, I'll take it on the private line. Axford, Miss Case wants to say something to you.
Huh? Oh, outside, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be back, Reed.
Hello? Hello, Dr. Lockhart. I'm glad you phoned. Well, I think you remember me. We met several times. You do? Well, that simplifies matters. Well, I have a letter here signed with the mark of the Green Hornet. It's of particular interest to you, and I want you to see it. Dr. Lockhart, I'd sooner show it to you direct. No, it isn't that I don't trust your secretary. Well, yes, Dr. Lockhart. Very well, I'll send it to her. Axford, Dr. Lockhart will telephone Nora Benham and tell her what to do with this letter when she receives it.
Okay, Reed. But what am I supposed to do with it?
Simply deliver it to Miss Benham, that's all. Cato will have the car at the curb. He'll take you to her home.
Yeah, that's where she could be found. She won't go to Lockhart's lab no more since he closed it up. But, Reed, I don't need Cato to take me. I got my own car.
It's possible that I might want someone to swear that the letter was delivered, in which case Cato would be very handy.
Oh, all right. What's in the letter?
It's, sealed.
Oh. Well, all right. I'm on my way. I'd sure like to know why this letter's so important, wouldn't you, Cato?
Importance is thing of relative value. What might be of great importance to the doctor would be of no importance to us.
That's where she lives, Cato. That little cottage over there.
Yes, Miss Dunstan.
Pull up to the curb and I'll go in. Yeah, before you came up the stairs, and there was no answer. Well, maybe it don't work, so I'm rapping. No answer. Well, I telephone Reed and see what he says to do now.
I came as quickly as I could, Axford. I had to call the police.
The cops? Holy crow.
Are they on the way?
Yes.
Well, why'd you call the cops in just because Nora Benham don't answer her door? Maybe she ain't... She isn't at home.
I checked back with Dr. Lockhart. He was still at a camp in the mountains. He said he'd talked to Miss Benham by phone. He told her the letter was on the way and gave her instructions about it.
Oh.
So it isn't likely she'd leave the house, knowing the importance of the letter.
She did know that?
Yes.
Golly.
There's a police car.
Good. I will get inside.
Reed, you suspect foul play, don't you?
Frankly, I do.
Why?
Because, Axford, I happen to know the contents of that letter.
Oh. What a... Maybe if you were to tell me what they were, I could deduce something.
The letter had the signature of the Green Hornet.
Suffering snakes, that does it.
Does what?
That gets me in it. I'm going to get that Hornet if it's the last thing I do. Oh, hiya, Doyle. How are you?
Hello, expert. What's that?
Doyle, it's the Green Hornet.
What?
It's a letter from the Hornet, Doyle. But before we go into that, see if you can find a key to open this door.
Why so? It's not according to
regulations. I found it, Doyle. Open the door. I have reason to think Miss Benham's in trouble. She was waiting for this letter. She'd answer the bell if she could.
Well, this skeleton key might do the work. First, I'll have to get rid of the key that's in the lock on the inside. Maybe I can poke it out. There, that does it. Now I'll have the door open in no time. Window's all closed and locked. Better open a few. It's stuffy in here.
All right, sir.
Well, maybe if we called again. Miss Benham!
Try the next room.
Well, maybe she's... Holy crow!
Stand back. Let me examine her.
Sprawled on the floor like Filbert was.
How about it, Dora?
Reed, she's dead. No mark of injury so far.
Just like Filbert. Holy crow, Reed. Look, another note.
Let me see that.
A suicide note, just like Filbert left. And here's another one of the same kind of containers that held gas.
This is no suicide.
But read the way the house was locked.
This is murder. Here's a letter from the Green Hornet to prove it.
Before we continue with our adventure, please permit us to pause for a meeting of the Law and Order Roundtable, conducted by the Green Hornet.
Friends of the Green Hornet Roundtable, in barbershops, on buses, in stores, and around dinner tables, you've heard arguments sizing up situations from politics to baseball. But the other night, I heard a newsboy telling another newsboy his ideas. And what he said struck me so forcibly that I want to pass it on to you. He said, "The best thing in the world is to be free. But the trouble is, that word's been tossed around so much, people don't stop to think what it means." In a few short sentences, the newsboy voiced what has become a real danger to us. We're used to slogans. Americans talk in superlatives because that's the way we do things, on a big scale. But we must not ever forget that the four-letter word F-R-E-E has no bigger, broader synonym. It says everything. As long as freedom is more important to us than luxury, our government will be good. Free men will elect public officials who think as they do, not men bound to crooked politicians who drag government down to their own rotten level. You boys and girls coming of age must remember that your ballot is the expression of your freedom. Its value doesn't change. Use it wisely, and you'll find hokum politics will never be able to dim the challenge of that one word, free. Now, back to our story.
Britt Reed was in his office the day after the tragic deaths of Filbert and Nora Benham. His visitor was the famous scientist, Dr. Lockhart.
I knew, Mr. Reed, that foreign agents were after the formula for that gas.
That is why I called my three associates together and told them we would turn one copy of the formula over to the government and destroy all other written data.
Yes, Dr. Lockhart. Did you do that?
We did. There were several small containers of the gas which we made up for test purposes. These were locked in a vault in my lab. I find that they have been taken.
Well, one container, empty, was found in Filbert's home.
Yes, and another in Nora Benham's.
Well, what's the nature of the gas?
Colorless and odorless. Deadly for a short time, but quickly dissipated. The containers are harmless in a fair-sized room unless someone took a direct breath of the gas when the container was opened.
Well, here, Dr. Lockhart, is a copy of the letter I turned over to the police. As you see, it's signed with an insignia of the Green Hornet.
This is the letter you wanted to deliver to me?
Yes.
Where did you get it?
Well, you can see by the envelope that it was addressed to the Daily Sentinel. Read it.
Yes. To the Daily Sentinel. It might be of interest to you to know that I overheard a conversation that might imply trouble. The subject of discussion was a gas perfected by Dr. Lockhart. Enemy agents secured samples of this gas but found it impossible to analyze. They planned, therefore, to compel those who knew the formula to reveal it to them. I don't know who the people are. Perhaps if you warn the doctor, it will be in time to prevent the loss of an important secret. I am, after all, an American, even though I am the Green Hornet.
Now you have it.
But read, why doesn't the Hornet name the people he overheard?
He says he doesn't know who they were.
But I
perhaps he was in a position where it would have been disastrous to him to show himself. He might have been without his mask or weapon.
Yes?
Yet in such a position that he would be known as the Hornet if he were seen. Now, there are many possibilities, you see.
To think that I, who started out trying to determine the gas the Hornet used in the hope of trapping him, would be helped by the Hornet.
Well, he's been of little help so far.
I know, but his intentions were good. But Reed, I've talked to the police.
Yes, they favor the suicide angle.
Yes, and they do it in spite of the letter you showed them, this letter.
Well, Axford is outside. He may have some late word from the police.
Yes?
Send Axford in, please.
Yes, sir.
Of course, it is possible that Filbert and Nora preferred death to torture. They may have been contacted by these enemy agents and threatened.
Yeah, Reed?
Axford, this is Dr. Lockhart.
Oh, it's glad I am to know you, Doc. I heard about you.
Mr. Axford, Doctor.
How do you do?
What's the latest report, Axford?
Reed, the cops went over the Benham place with a fine-tooth comb. Then they went back and went over the Filbert place again. The two deaths were as much alike as peas in a pod. The cops think the inquest will come to call it suicide.
But in view of
there aren't the suicide notes, you see. And the doors and windows were all locked.
A clever criminal can leave a place and make it look as though it had been left locked on the inside.
But the keys were in all the doors on the inside. Remember how Doyle had to fiddle around before he could get his skeleton key in?
Axford, a key can be turned from the wrong side with fine, powerful pliers designed for the purpose.
But the writing on the notes was done by the victims, and there weren't any other fingerprints around.
Lockhart, these killers are clever.
You still say, Mother?
I do.
Because you believe the Hornet's note?
No, there are other reasons. You talked to Nora Benham on the phone. Even if she were contemplating suicide, is it likely that she would do so knowing that an important letter would arrive any moment?
We don't know.
And you knew these people. Was either one a suicide type?
No.
But read the handwriting on those suicide notes.
A clever forgery.
It took brilliant execution to enter my laboratory and pick those vials of gas from the vault. Yet that was done by someone.
The next attempt might be on your life, Lockhart.
Yes, I know.
How about Asher Vardon? He's the only one, excepting yourself, who knows the method of making that gas, isn't he?
Yes, he is the only one. Now?
Then the cops had better have you and Vardon guarded night and day. I'll have a talk with Doyle. I'll make him see that even if the cops do think of the deaths as suicides, there'll be nothing lost by having guards on the job.
People who are as clever as these crooks won't be stopped by guards. They'll find a way.
And it'd simplify matters if you and Vardon stayed together for the next few days.
Do you think so?
Yes. Your home is closed, Lockhart. Why don't you call Vardon? Tell him you'll stay with him.
It might not be a bad idea, that. He has a nice little home.
Family?
No, he lives alone. The housekeeper comes in daily.
You seem to have made it a point to associate with people without family.
Well, when I started my experiments, I didn't want to take any risks. So I secured people like Philbert and Vardon, whose whole life was wrapped up in their work. Then you see, there was no likelihood they'd divulge what they learned to a wife.
I see.
I'll call Varden at once and tell him to expect me.
Do so. You may use this phone.
That evening, in the privacy of his bedroom, Britt Reed made careful preparations with his trusted valet, Cato.
I made sure Axford would be at police headquarters for the next few hours. That'll keep him out of our way.
Yes, Mr. Britt.
If we only hadn't been in such a position when we heard that enemy agent speaking on the phone, Cato.
I know.
Just a voice, that's all. By the time we got where we could see the phone, he was gone. If we'd shown ourselves, he would have known the identity of the Green Hornet.
But you learned one thing of importance, though.
Yes, I learned that there was a deadline. The unknown Mr. X has to produce the formula before the end of this week, or he'll be discredited. The weapon's loaded.
Yes.
Now give me those nose plugs, Cato. We may need them as a protection against this gas.
Here they are.
Yeah, good.
It is to be hoped that Mr. X will make appearance tonight at Varden House.
Cato, he has to. If he doesn't get the formula tonight, he'll lose his last chance.
Here's Mask of Green Hornet.
Right. Now we're ready.
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in his bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passage built within the wall of the apartment house itself. This passage led to an adjoining building which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness.
Get into the house, Varden, with those guards outside.
But as you said, Dr. Lockhart, this foreign agent must be devilishly clever.
Let me ask you something.
Yes, sir?
Let us suppose he did come to you, demanding that you write the formula for him.
Yes. I doubt if I could remember it.
You're evading the answer. You could remember enough of it to give him a pretty accurate idea of the process.
Well, I think I might give him a fake formula. That would satisfy him for the time.
You are scientist enough to know that a fake formula would never get by a man who understood chemistry. He would know, or at least have a fairly good idea, whether or not the reactions would work.
Probably you're right, Dr. Lockhart. I would hate to be placed in a position where my life had to be given to protect a formula.
What is it?
I heard something.
That's the guards, I said.
No, it was here in the house. I'm sure of it. I heard it again. A creaking floorboard.
Oh, but that can't be
it. Please keep your voices down.
Masked. The Hornet. The Green Hornet.
I said keep quiet.
How did you get in here?
A simple matter of creeping up when the guards weren't watching and using skeleton keys. My car driven past attracted the attention of the guards.
Then you are the foreign agent. The Green Hornet.
There's no use trying to convince you that that's not the case. I haven't time. The developments may change your mind.
I wish you'd lower that weapon.
Soon, Lockhart. After I've used
no,
it.
No, you... Doctor, stop.
You too, Horton. I want both of you sleeping.
Barton and Lockhart slumped unconscious to the floor. Then the Green Hornet acted with deft fingers and lightning-fast movements. He injected a serum into the arm of each man. Then he stripped off his hat, top coat, and mask. He pulled a wig over his head, fixed a beard to his face, and applied makeup. He then took his seat in the armchair recently vacated by Dr. Lockhart. The minutes reached an hour and then half of another hour while Varden and Lockhart remained unconscious in a bedroom of the house. From time to time, Britt Reed went to examine them and check their respiration.
Sleeping comfortably enough. Yeah, they'll be good till morning.
He resumed his seat and his vigil, breathing through filtering plugs that fitted his nostrils. Then a dark figure moved through the rooms. A man poked a gun toward the young publisher and spoke in a guttural voice.
Don't move.
Oh, at last.
You're covered, Dr. Lockhart. I think you know why I'm here, nicht wahr?
I assume you came for a formula.
Exactly. Already two of your stupid hirelings have been stubborn. With you, it's different. You have ones whom you love. If I could have dealt directly with you in the first place, those others need not have died.
I suppose you brought a sample of the gas to use on me in the event that I refused to cooperate, eh?
To be sure.
Yes, the police would hardly accept three suicides.
Ah, the police.
How did you get by the guards?
My aides made a slight disturbance across the street. It was that simple. I slipped in when their attention was diverted. Now, you will write the formula.
You can go to blazes.
So, you think because there are two of you here, well, I have enough gas.
And so have I. Try mine.
You... I show you...
Inside. That shot came from in there.
The door is locked, Doyle. On the inside. The key's in the lock. We'll have to poke it out.
Smash
and
that door. Right, stand aside. Let me at it.
Look here on the floor. That's not Varden.
Or Lockhart. Go through the house, Jake.
Okay.
Parker, you and Steve look to the rear.
Right. Come on.
This guy's not dead.
Turn him over. That's it. Hey, look. It's another one of those gas containers.
Yeah.
Only this one's still sealed. Something happened to this guy before he got the chance to use the gas.
Look here. The seal of the Green Hornet.
Wow. It was the Hornet's car we saw pass.
Must have been.
But where's the Hornet? He couldn't be here. Or could he?
Hey, Doyle. Varden Lockhart unconscious in the bedroom back here.
Dead?
Oh, I said unconscious. Hey, wait.
Confound it all. Get that guy out of here. This ain't open house.
Sergeant Doyle.
Oh. Mr. Reed.
I was passing and saw the door open. Have the two scientists been killed?
No, but this bird had a cartridge of gas to kill him if he'd had the chance to use it. Someone got him first.
He seems to be regaining consciousness.
Yeah. And we found the seal of the Green Hornet here. Maybe the Hornet got him. But if that's the case, how did the Hornet get out? We heard a shot. This bird had a gun with him.
How about Lockhart?
He'll be all right. He's drugged, that's all.
Are this man on the floor?
I don't think so.
Stick around, Reed, while we investigate. This is once you beat Axford to the story. Well, putting it all together, it seems the Hornet gassed Lockhart and Varden.
Yes, he did, Sergeant Doyle.
Then the Hornet must have been here when this man... what'd you say your name was?
Blatton.
Oh, yeah, when Blatton came in.
Yes, now I know it was the Hornet. But how did he get in?
Probably the same way you did, Blatton. The skeleton key, which was used during a distraction.
The Hornet had someone drive his car by the house. The guards watched the car, wondering if it was the Black Beauty. Well, the Hornet slipped in.
But he got out again.
Yes, right under your noses.
Yes, it's quite possible that he slipped out a rear door and locked it after him. You've done the same thing, Blatton.
Hang it all, to think I was that close to the Green Hornet and he slipped through my fingers again.
It's too bad, Doyle. Wait till Axford hears that.
Just heard the adventure, The Murder Gas. These exciting dramas are sent to you each week at this same time. They are copyrighted features of the Green Hornet Incorporated. All characters, names, places, and incidents used in this drama are purely fictitious. Bob Height speaking. This program came to you from WXYZ in Detroit. This is the Blue Network.